Hello! Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Dansky Black Gamora, a.k.a. Don Strowman, the Patreon Don, a.k.a. Donnie Capri from the time I went to Italy, a.k.a. Well, do I have another one? I mean, guys, throw me one. I'm losing one. Throw me a bone.
Donnie Baseball?
Donnie Baseball.
Wait, that's Don Mattingly.
Right.
Oh, scratch it. I need one more.
Don Podcast?
Don Podcast, a.k.a. the modern day Goof Haraja. Coming at you like Scott Bakula, baby. Let's take a quantum leap. Gabba wee. Yeah. The girl, she's mine. Damn, she's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy hot wrestling reactions. You guys feel the heat?
It's hot.
You guys feel the heat?
It's a hot day.
That's that SummerSlam heat coming at you, baby. 100-plus degrees burning your skin because we're getting into it.
I think it's the lamp in the recording studio.
It might be the lamp.
It's the lamp behind
Travis. It might be the lamp. Hey, let me introduce my guest before we get into it. Thank you. Hey, props to Sarah in the booth for giving us a lamp. She didn't want us to be stuck with regular old fluorescents.
And we rejected the lamp, and she insisted. She brought it in anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
Sarah, the lamp engineer.
One thing I could tell you is that when you're working in an audio medium, the lighting is key.
I'm blind, so actually that's why I'm so good on the podcast.
Yeah.
To my left, we have returning guest. He's been gone for a while, out in the business world, trading stocks, ups and downs, NASDAQs, the Philadelphia Stock Exchange, you know it, Mr. Arlen Marmel.
Yeah, I've been very busy on the Philadelphia Stock Exchange. We've been trading
cream cheese.
Cheese futures, steak futures, hoagie futures.
Racism futures.
Rocky sequel futures, hoagie shop futures.
For sure. Spins.
Spins. To his left, to my front, Mr. King of the Custom Intro, you know this guy. Jason Shapiro.
I'm here.
Oh, for his last week as co-host of the show.
That's true.
How'd he do? Did he piss you off?
I hope so. You guys are all children.
He's been healing off on the Facebook page. All right, look, before we get into all of the spicy action and we give our SummerSlam predictions and reactions and everything, this is Fastlane. This is the last stop on the road to the Comedians of Wrestling SummerSlam-tacular this Saturday night at midnight at Caveat Theater. Still a couple tickets left on caveat.nyc. You can get your tickets. Dolph Ziggler is on the show, the current Intercontinental Champion, who on this podcast this week said that he will be bringing the title. The Intercontinental strap will be at this show. Maybe you'll get to touch it. I don't know. Maybe get to lick it.
Probably,
I don't know.
Probably not.
That'd be an aggressive maneuver, and you might get super kicked. So that you can get your tickets for that. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be a really awesome show. Sweet. What
did you know that they have two straps? Every champion has two straps. One they give them, and they literally travel with that strap. They carry it, and then they keep one in like a workbench. Like a craftsman workbench, same exact one in case they forget it, lose it, something happens. So they have a dupe, but they actually travel with the strap and they have a backup. I know that because I'm a business guy.
Yeah, that's the kind of business.
Inside business info.
We're going to get you a sound drop that says business inside. when we get a spicy business take like that. That's great. So anyway, you can check that show out. Also announced on the show when Dolph, by the way, Dolph Ziggler, that episode is live. If you want to hear my interview, about an hour and a half, he lets me ask him anything I want. I got to ask him, my favorite thing is to ask him, is like, does it piss you off that Roman Reigns gets to wear a vest and you got to be shirtless every single week on television? And you could hear his answer on that episode, which is on the main feed right now, brought to you by our Patreon. It's a that is a bonus episode that to promote the show I put live on there, but don't get it twisted. That is bonus content. So if you want to support this show, we are grassroots. Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Support the pod. What were you going to say, Shevs?
I was going to say, I don't know what his answer was because I haven't listened yet, but guys like that, they don't worry about taking their shirts off. They're pretty cool with running around topless. When, when you got it, flaunt it, man. He's a show off.
Yeah, that was pretty much his answer.
Oh, man. I'm here to
show the world. Wait, he's entering. He's not here. That is could be possible. So you could check that out. Also, before we get into it, we gotta plug our sponsor on the show. You guys ready to plug the sponsor?
For sure. My best friend, Sheb's third best friend.
Third best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody. Listen, we got an exciting sponsor on this show. Adam Letterman, attorney at law. Adam is the top guy at the law firm Davis, Saperstein & Solomon, located in New Jersey and New York. Adam was voted a top 40 under 40 lawyer nationally and is certified by the Supreme Court of New Jersey as a civil trial attorney. Okay, now Adam, he specializes in personal injury law. Call this guy if you've been hit by a car, kendo stick, or Elias's guitar. All Cal listeners get free legal advice from Adam. That's just another perk of this podcast. You can simply message Adam and Letterman, L-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, Letterman, on Facebook. Adam is in the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook group. He posts, he is a jabroniac. So you can just hit him up right on there.
True Lettermania.
Absolutely. Guys, unlike Brock Lesnar, Adam will show up and be your legal champion.
What a tremendous read.
It's great.
Let's ask Letterman, was that my best read so far?
I think it was. Well, a couple times you didn't do it at all, so
yeah. Those were
step
not
in the
good.
Right direction.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, cheers up to Adam Letterman.
Yeah, cheers up.
My best friend, Sheb's third best friend.
Yeah, you already said that.
I just want everyone to know the stats.
Okay, are you guys ready to get into it?
I actually have some breaking news before we get into
it. Wow, well, I guess God. Hit us with the breaking news. I have no clue if this is more important than the stuff I have planned, but all right.
I mean, it's breaking news, so it's more important. The news broke.
I'll tell you something. It's very important on a podcast that comes out later to do breaking news.
Well, it's breaking right now. As we sit here, I just got an alert on my phone.
Okay. But when you're listening to this, it's probably going to be already broken news.
I actually think it's... The news is so unimportant that it will be breaking news for all the listeners.
No one's going to find out about until tomorrow?
Okay. That's exactly right.
Love it. All right, what's the news?
Yeah, I'm ready to hear.
A major WWE figure has died.
Okay. That's you don't call a death breaking news.
This is not
Jim the Anvil Neidhart?
This is not Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Rest in peace, Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
He's been dead for 48 hours. His corpse is, he's dealing
cold.
With rigor mortis at this point.
He's cold. He's in the ground.
Aretha Franklin has died.
Aretha
really?
Franklin has died.
Aretha Franklin has died. WrestleMania 3 and 23, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah. Aretha Franklin.
Big that's big
America
news.
It is very big news.
Yeah, well, let's show her some respect by doing the best podcast we can today.
She's probably a future Hall of Fame inductee alongside our current president.
Yes.
That's a very important wing of the Hall of Fame.
Let's move on before we make it a joke.
We don't make a joke.
Accident.
I just want to. It's not a joke. We all love Aretha Franklin. We'll miss her.
Tremendous talent.
America the Beautiful.
A beautiful song. Do we think she will be a first ballot Hall of Famer in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Has there ever been anyone that had to wait till the second ballot?
I don't even know what that term means. I got to be honest. I don't know what first
ballot means. Okay, so T.O. in the NFL Hall of Fame,
yeah.
His first opportunity, he didn't get it. His
right.
second opportunity, he didn't get
it. When's the opportunity? When does your opportunity
basically
arise?
You have an eligibility, like 7 years after your playing career has ended or something along those
something
lines.
So something like that.
Yeah.
So what's your first ballot for being in the WWE? Some guys are inducted while they're
still
wrestling.
Yeah, there is no, that's what I'm saying. There's
so I guess my question is, next year, will Aretha Franklin be inducted?
Here's what we need to know. Did anyone ever say to Vince, hey, I think Aretha should be in the Hall of Fame, and Vince went, no.
She's not dead yet, damn it.
Now that she's dead. She's dead now. I think this is going to be her big opportunity.
I think so, too. Well, that was good. I feel that the news has been woken. That is some woken
America
news.
The Beautiful.
Waking
WrestleMania
news.
3, WrestleMania 23.
Okay,
Aretha
yeah.
Franklin, may she rest in peace.
Rest in peace to Aretha Franklin and Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
I hope they're dancing in heaven together right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we got SummerSlam. These were our go-home shows for SummerSlam for Raw and SmackDown. And so I think the first thing to mention is Renee on commentary, which
sure.
is maybe not, you know, there's a lot of big things, but there's a lot of talk on the Comedians Wrestling Facebook page. We're talking about Wrestling 4 in the Morning under his eye. And I don't think it's even like relevant to be like, how did she do, blah blah blah. Like, for me, I think it's more, I know Renee's a great talent. She's gonna clearly get good at that if they'll keep her in that spot, and I think it's cool to have her there. You know, I liked having, I think it's cool to have a female voice on the on the announce table. You never, you know, it's great to have that perspective.
But why
should
you
be there?
But why are you blushing and stuttering while you say it?
Oh, because
Dan gets very uncomfortable around social issues. He doesn't want to offend anyone about anything.
I think we'd all agree it's good that the woman was on the announce team.
Look, I'm going to come from a different angle.
Great. I'd love to hear the other side of this.
It's stupid that in 2018 we still talk about this.
Sure.
Stuff. That Renee being on commentary is a big deal. Like, she's awesome. That whole announce table is a bunch of idiots. They should be replaced by three Renees.
My point was mainly that...
Well, I like Corey Graves.
My point was just that... Like,
I like Corey
I think
Graves.
People
I find
are just
hard
quick,
to look
my
at.
What I'm saying is that that's a very specific school skill, commentating, right? Like, I've done it for the comedy.
So you're
wrestling.
Saying women don't have that skill?
That's not at all what I'm saying.
That's how I interpreted it.
Okay, yeah. Well,
me and all the listeners interpreted it that way.
Every one of the listeners.
That's how I took it.
It's a very specific. So I doubt anyone's going to be amazing at it right away. And I thought she was good. I thought she was serviceable. I thought there were spots where, like, Cole was, like, kind of stepping over her, taking those moments because he's got more experience, and that's his role.
And
but
also
because
he's a fucking asshole.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Is he?
He takes shirtless flex pics. You know,
But I don't know him as a personality. Is he, like,
it's probably
is
asshole.
He known for step over commentating?
Look, as a guy who's been bullied and then became a bully, I could tell you that The Rock used to pick on Michael Cole, and now he thinks it's cool to pick on other people. I recognize that in other people.
Yeah.
But that's the only honest thing I've ever heard Sheb say about his own character.
The only thing I was thinking about was, like, do we lose Renee in those backstage? Like, I thought...
Oh, yeah.
She is a little too big for that. I mean, she is.
Yeah, there's, like, Charlie Caruso doing
that shit.
Like, we could have
they
her
swap people in and out every week.
Because she was also hosting, like, you know, the talkback shows after the actual shows. Like, she's a bigger talent.
Also, to your point, Dan,
you could still be an announcer, and I'm just saying, you could still be an announcer and still do, like, that Heyman segment. Like,
right.
Oh, that's for sure. That's an important segment.
Because Graves does stuff like
just
that.
Just standing backstage with a mic,
that's what I was thinking, is, like, do we need her for those other floating roles? You know, like, do we need her more as, like, a Mean Gene? But I think she could do both.
Mean Gene had a very special skill. Did you ever notice Mean Gene's skill of holding his arm in any position to get the microphone to be... Like, if you look back at those videos, he would go under, like, Mach's arm.
Yeah.
And, like, hold the microphone in a very awkward position as he, like, rotated. He had a gift.
And I got to tell you, it's not, I mean, if you hold a mic for yourself, not that hard. If you hold a mic for a guy who's 2 feet taller than you, and try it at home. Hold your hand up high like the Statue of Liberty. See how long you could do it. If you could last a whole Ultimate Warrior promo, then you could be Mean Gene, but most of you can't do it.
My whole life is holding mics for guys 2 feet taller than me.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring up the segment. I'm going to bring up the segment that happened on the Go Home show.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about the match and how you'd want it fantasy booked and your predictions for it. What you think will happen, which will be whatever the opposite of you want, that is what will happen.
Sometimes, yeah.
Cool. So Ronda Rousey opens Raw, and she gave that promo about Jim the Anvil Neidhart dying. It was like her message to Natty, which, by the way, first off, kind of confused me because I was like, are they actually close? I actually don't know that.
I think Natty actually helps train her to be a wrestler. Like, Kurt Angle and Natty truly in kayfabe and in real life are instrumental in her wrestling training.
I didn't know that. So,
well, as the host,
like,
of a podcast with hundreds of thousands of listeners, you should know.
Well, I mean,
you know that?
Yeah, how did you?
I know all sorts of shit.
No. You claim to know all sorts of shit. Most of it you don't know.
Training with Natty? I've never seen that. Every time I see
her training. Let me just say something about kayfabe versus real life.
Yeah.
Let's say I've seen clips of her training with Natty. Yeah. How does that mean that it's real and not kayfabe?
Yeah.
But you also haven't seen them, and you're saying it with such authority.
I've seen the clips, and I have authority.
All right, guys. Shanti. Yeah. Okay.
I do yoga on Saturday, so that's good.
Do you say Shanti? Is that your mantra?
We sing. We sing about a bunch of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. And
at the end, give me a taste.
Like Wonderwall. Like, what do you sing?
Yeah. What do you sing?
No.
Wonderwall.
It's like a lot of Indian stuff that we sing.
Oh my god.
It's chanting.
Let me ask you a question. Are the people leading? Are the men or women?
Hanuman. Like, stuff like that. You guys wouldn't get it. You're not woke.
Let me ask you a question.
What's Hanuman?
It's some word in Indian
language.
It's
a bunch of spiritual stuff.
Let me ask you a question. The person who leads the Hanuman chant, are they white or Indian?
Oh, I've never been to an Indian teacher in San Francisco in 3 years.
Then I'm going to call that appropriation.
Yeah, no question. Yoga's been appropriated. What is that, a hot take?
No, I'm just saying. Yoga is compromised. You heard it here first, guys. No more yoga is officially out.
Guys, yoga's been appropriated. Everyone's pissed.
Everyone is I'm just saying, there's a difference between doing yoga and, like, leading Indian chants.
You know what else? Hot take has been appropriated.
What?
Dream catcher tattoos. The Native Americans, we stole it from them, guys. Yeah.
You're
and
upset
also
about
that we appropriated the land.
That's
true.
Did you
get that?
Is it dream cat? I think that's
it's
called
a definitely.
Okay, so Rousey cuts his promo. I thought, like, I don't know why we're getting into all these progressive issues today.
Let's see how many
white straight guys we can have on microphone. Yeah.
Are we white straight guys or are we white straight allies?
Don't label me. I'm non-binary.
Yeah, okay. Okay, you're not important. But I think so. Jimmy, she was like, gave this promo about fathers.
Yeah.
Like the role of the father in a family.
So she has a very interesting relationship with her father.
Well, she wasn't talking about her father.
But
she was like, guys, this is what fathers do.
Right.
And I know, not to be like a bleeding heart liberal, but there was a part of me, it's like, that's not how every family structure is.
Right.
She was like, our fathers protect us, blah, blah, blah. And then I think about all the fathers who don't stick around for their kids.
Right.
And then the mom stays there. I think it should be like our parents. I don't know. That was maybe the most like liberal I felt in the moment where I was like, what do you like this is like stock. It's like stock. And you're talking about a guy who like actually died. Just make it more personal. Talk about your father, what your father meant to you. And anyway, I don't know. It seemed weird.
I had a different concern. When they ended the promo celebrating Jim the Anvil Neidhart's life, I believe the last thing they said was, and he will forever be remembered for his iconic goatee.
Did they say goatee and laugh?
Yeah, they did say and laugh.
His goatee and his laugh.
I'm like, that's what you guys
came
up with?
Like, ha, yeah.
His iconic goatee and laugh?
Let me ask you another question. Yeah. What do you remember him for?
His stomach.
I think that'd be way worse. Like, and he will always be remembered for his bulbous stomach.
I mean, his stomach was unusual to say
the
least.
He's a big guy.
He looked awesome.
Right,
he looked great. He looked like
an
anvil.
He was the coolest dude, like the most manliest, like classic masculine guy to like rock pink like that. Like,
sure.
Like that guy is rocking pink spandex, and I always, as a kid, thought he looked fucking awesome.
He pulled it off. He also looked like an anvil, and I always appreciated that.
Yeah.
He had, like, the flat top and the pointed beard. Like, it made sense to
back
me.
Back when things made sense.
Yeah,
you were a dentist.
Simpler,
you were a dentist.
Simpler times. But everything Bret Hart ever did is tainted for me now.
That's crazy.
I hate him.
That's insane.
I loved him. He was my favorite guy of all time, and he and I don't get along right now.
Well, Brett, look, you say you screwed Brett.
Brett screwed a
fan in Ireland. Wait, should I not hop on this father thing?
I don't really give it, like, it doesn't strike a chord with me.
Okay.
But I understand what you're saying.
Because I feel like you didn't hear it.
No, I heard it. She was saying our fathers protect us. It's sort of like a very archaic.
It's specific.
It's archaic and specific. It seems like mothers can protect us too. She could have used parents, but Jim was a father, so she was using fathers.
But she wasn't talking about Jim. Right.
But she was talking about Jim.
It's just, I don't know. I actually just thought it was like, you could, and also I thought it was weird. It's like, just, I wanted them to ring the bell. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they should have done the everyone come out.
Like, this is a big star.
That's the thing that bothered me, is that they didn't do the traditional, everyone in the locker room comes out, you ring the bell, you play a video montage package.
Right.
I love Ronda. I didn't need that out of Ronda. I could have just done a normal Neidhart promo tribute. I like that she came out and said something about her friend's dad. I thought that was sweet.
No, I thought that's really cool. I thought it could have been more, I would have liked something that's personal instead of like some kind of, I don't know. Like,
it was very weird. I thought she did a good job though. Like, I thought
she did a great job
promo wise, like mic skills wise. Like, she nailed it.
Here.
Our pillars of strength in a hostile world. They are our reassurance that everything is going to be okay. But when that reassurance is ripped away, we have to face the fact.
Okay, great, good.
Okay, we basically got the gist of it, but you see what I mean, right?
Yeah, but
do you know what her father's situation is?
Yes, I do know her father's situation.
I know her dad's not really around, right?
I will tell you her father's situation. Her father...
Rodney Rousey.
Roderick Rousey.
No, his name was
Rodney.
Ronald.
Rodney.
Ronald Rousey.
Rodney.
Cold Ronald Rousey.
All right. Look, guys, here's what happened. Basically, Ronda didn't speak till she was about 5, 6, 7. She could not talk. People thought she was dumb. right? The school teachers, they thought there was something wrong with her developmentally. And her father would always say, I know that you're smart. I know you're great. I know you're going to show them. I know you're going to make it.
Well, Hot Rodney Rousey would never discourage his daughter. That's
right.
Thing
so
I know about
the
Hot
whole
Rodney.
World, when she was young, people thought there was something wrong with her. She, for whatever reason, late verbally, and people thought that was something wrong with this child. And he would always encourage her and was very, you know, supportive, like any father would be. He wound up getting into a sledding accident and becoming a quadriplegic.
Oh,
so, like, he slid downhill, injured himself, and then couldn't take care of himself for years. I think he lived like that for maybe 2 to 4 years, and then committed suicide because he couldn't take living like
that. Yeah, I did know this.
So, her relationship with her father, like, to her, her father was this amazing force of comfort, support, encouragement, and protection until he couldn't be anymore.
Right.
And then he took his own life, and it's very emotional and sensitive for her, which is why I don't mind that she cuts a promo
right,
talking about
that
the
great
insight
from Jason Shapiro. That was a great job. I'm fully changing my opinion
for
on
sure.
this.
Great.
Has I'm that not, ever happened? Is it okay to just change your opinion? That's what my big thing always. I'm like, why are people so, like, all right, here's how I felt about this thing. Now we talked it out. Yeah, that's enough for me.
I think we need more of that in America. Let this podcast be a bastion and a symbol of what America should be doing. We need a dialogue in this country.
Yeah, as much as I hate Shebs, I was willing to take my opinion and
do you really hate me
for
though?
The truth?
Aren't you not my best friend?
Yeah, no.
Did I not
get
the best man speech at your wedding?
Yeah, absolutely.
This,
it was great.
This subject's going to get very complicated fast.
Okay, yeah, that's good. No. It's all good. All right, look, we got to move on for wrestling. So Alexa cut a promo right after that. She got a, no surprise, great promo by Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Specifically, she found the game of making fun of Ronda's mean face.
Yeah.
She's
so good.
And also, the thing is, Alexa is so expressive. Like, she's such a natural actress. Like,
yeah, I think she overacts a little bit. Like, she's a great, she'd be a great stage actor.
Well, I don't mean
it's
natural where I'm like, it could be
right,
on
a good
film.
Well, she,
I would see naturally, like, the other wrestlers, a lot of them
she's
don't
lapping,
tap into
she's
it.
Lapping them.
Lapping
she's,
them, right.
She's head and shoulders better than all of them.
Right.
The thing about her, though, is I would say she's more of a stage actor than a screen actor because there's not a lot of nuance to her facial expression. They're big. She's big express. They're perfect, the perfect expression for the moment, but it's like it's not subtle. It's very big, and she's really good at it. She's great at being condescending.
No, it's too big for film, but but amazing. Like she could be a great stand-up.
Yeah, she'd be a great stand-up.
But anyway, so that whole thing like of the girl, I thought that was really great. Also, she had one rant where she was just like tearing into. It was basically like the greatest hits of my Ronda digs.
Yeah,
you know, she was just. I said like you're a, like a privileged brat, overhyped rookie, and like the rhythm of it is like bop bop bop, and it moves with her body. Like it's just
she's a consummate promo woman. She could do great.
Can you imagine
promo work?
If she could like.
Really wrestle?
If she can work.
No, I can't imagine it. She has a very strong command of language as well. Like, a subtle observation that I have is she uses really good vocabulary.
Yeah.
She has very strong vocabulary, and she doesn't reach for words. She's very fluid when she speaks.
Yeah.
So she's clearly talking, you know, off the cuff, but obviously she's given story points to hit, but she just does it better than anyone else.
Right, and it's so funny. Like, in a world where, like, half of these people are muscle-bound dum-dums.
In a world.
Yeah. She is, you know, you wouldn't know that she started as like a bodybuilder and just has this verbal gift also.
I don't know that she started as a bodybuilder.
She
I
did.
Believe she was a cheerleader.
She was her gimmick was a cheerleader.
She was she did competitive fitness competitions.
She was in the Arnold Classic.
I see.
She
I
did
have
like an, what Filson would do, like that stuff.
I have an Arnold Classic tank top. I don't know if that what that counts for.
Oh, that actually changes everything.
Yeah, that I take back what I said about Ronda Rousey earlier.
Yeah, absolutely.
That changes the whole podcast.
Yeah. She had a different father. That was not true.
Her father was Rodney Dangerfield.
No, Hot Rodney Rousey.
Listen, I don't game plan. I improvise. And I'm going to improvise your arm off.
Okay, a classic improv lesson from Ronda Rousey at UCB Comedy Studios.
Now that we're in the UCB Theater, can I ask you just an improv question? How often do you improvise someone's arm off when you're on stage?
I have done it before.
It's an incredible gift. Not everyone has it. You got to make it to the 301 class to improvise someone's arm off?
Absolutely. When I was doing improv, like I used to like take people's arms off completely. Before Ronda came on the scene,
sure.
Yeah.
I was improvising people's arms off completely wrong. I was bending it the wrong way. Now I give a full perfect maneuver with an armbar when I improvise an armbar. All right, let's talk.
We should probably move on for time.
Yeah, so I mean,
we covered segment one of Raw, and it's been half an hour.
Ronda beat up all those security guards. They were big. We all saw it coming, but it was fun. This time I felt like it felt a little more choreographed than normal. Normally it looks like she's actually is hurting those guys. Those judo flips, I would not want to take those. But there was a thing where it was like the punches didn't look like they were actually landing. Anyway, whatever. Cool. So that match, Alexa versus Ronda. What do you think happens? What do you want to happen?
I think.
Where is this on the card? That's what I was thinking about earlier. Where is this on the card?
It would have to be pretty high.
Is there any chance they main event with it?
No.
No, zero.
No. Not when there's zero. Not when there's Brock Roman. You know? They might even open with this because it's such a huge match.
Yeah.
But they probably won't. It'll probably be closer to the
probably the IC
top
match
of
could open this show, too.
It'll probably be more towards the, you know, the main event world.
Yeah.
I think Ronda wins. I think they start gearing up towards hers champ to a big WrestleMania moment with Ronda.
Yeah.
Here's my question about Ronda winning. She still doesn't have mic command, and there isn't someone with her at this point that is, like, do you think she's capable? Forget about her stardom and the fact that she can work in the ring, but is she really capable?
I think she's good enough on the mic right now to be the champion.
You do? Yeah. Okay.
Especially if you want to, I mean, you can compare it to other superstars, but if you compare it to the women's division, there's only Alexa and
Carmella. Charlotte.
No,
Charlotte
on the microphone.
Charlotte could talk.
I think she's
just
okay on the mic.
Yeah, I'm good with Charlotte on the mic.
Charlotte's not bad, but I don't know. I mean,
but
she can hang with the top sticks in her division, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Ronda's, you know, she's not.
There's Alexa, and then there's another tier.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say top.
It's Alexa.
Wow, I put Carmella up there.
Alexa's head and shoulders better than Carmella. Head and shoulders better than everyone else.
So maybe there's a third tier that they're in.
There's a third tier.
Who do you think wins this match?
I mean, I would love to see Alexa retain, but I think it's Ronda.
That's what I want to see Alexa retain.
I think it would be fun to see
Alexa retain.
Do you
think they milk this feud? The only way I could see it keep going is if they want this feud to keep going. I think a lot of these feuds are going to keep going. I think the only one that's ended is Reigns.
I think it would be hard for Ronda to not be in a feud with a counterpart that can carry the mic more. Like, I think this works incredibly well because of everything we just said about Alexa on the mic. I think it'd be a lot harder if Ronda is in a program with someone that, like, can't do mic work.
Right.
I'll do you one better than that.
I'll do you solid.
It's crazy to think of Alexa. Imagine her feuding with anyone not for the belt. Like, she's such a main eventer that, like, I can't imagine if Ronda wins the belt and they put her in a program with anyone else.
Well, that's
else
why we all wanted
Alexa.
Her to have the case.
Yeah.
That's why everyone was like, she's the actually, even though she just had the belt and she's, like, already over, she is actually the best candidate for the case because. Like, if she's not going to have the belt, holding that case makes her, like, you know, dope still.
Yeah, she's main event status.
Anyway, I think Ronda wins the belt.
I think so, too.
I think that they're just going to be like, let's just throw it on her, and let's keep it on her until she wants to leave.
Yeah, I think if we're living in a world where we think Brock Lesnar is leaving the company, right, then they – it's
do we?
If. I think a lot of people out there would believe that this is Brock's belt-losing pay-per-view. That's the popular narrative. I don't know how I feel about it just yet. But if we're living in a world where Brock is leaving, it behooves the company to have some big MMA star champion, some legitimate fighter holding a title belt.
Not to mention, look at Brock. He was able to wrestle like four times this whole year. He was on Raw maybe 10 times the whole year. Like, Ronda could pull that routine easy already. Yeah. She's at the status where she could do that. So if she's gone with the belt, also with the women's division, I don't think it hurts to have the belt kind of go away for a little bit. Let's build up some of the other women so that they feel like credible threats against her, but instead of just like she has to have a match, so we'll throw her in this feud.
I mean, I could see Ronda having the belt, then having one of those nonsense feuds with like another threat, I guess Nia.
But do they want her to win the belt at Evolution? That's the question.
Oh, that's
10/28.
Yeah,
Nassau Coliseum. Shebs will definitely.
I'll
be
definitely
there.
Be there. It's my hometown stadium.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't even consider that. Yeah. That's very astute. That's sharp. Yeah. I can see why you're a professional,
absolutely,
wrestling broadcaster. And that you have great fashion sense. What's this do? And what does this do? But they might wait to make Evolution a huge deal by having Ronda win the belt there. I'm now switching my theory. I think Alexa retains, and they milk this until
change
Evolution.
Of opinion. People can change their opinion.
Absolutely. You took that old opinion and you...
I did.
Okay,
I'd love
great.
To see
Let's
Alexa
move on.
Retain.
Dean Ambrose back in the mix. Jeans Ambrose is here, and he was those wore jeans, right? They were like a grayish.
That's where we want to start by talking about the jeans.
Wait, how many other podcasts are going to talk about how he's jacked and has a beard and no eyebrows? They're going to say that. We're going right down to the pants. Were those jeans?
I think that those were in. They almost seemed like a jegging, like a gray jegging.
They did. They looked better than his normal jeans.
They seemed
you know what he
a
looked
little
like
bit more couture.
He was wearing the Chuck Norris roundhouse kick.
You know, in Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, I believe.
Yeah.
When Bebop and Rocksteady, or even Shredder at the end, when they come back from
getting oozed up. It's not Bebop and Rocksteady. It's Toka and Razor.
Thank you. Oh,
it's Akam
and Razor.
Yeah.
You know when they come back from like getting oozed up?
Yeah.
That's what I felt like Dean Ambrose. Like he fell in some ooze and he came back just like exploding out of his jeans.
Yeah.
Exploding out of his shirt.
Yeah.
Totally different hairdo. It felt very...
So you think he got oozed up?
I think he got oozed up.
Someone just bukkakied him in the back.
He definitely got bukkakied. You heard it here second. Okay, so Dean Ambrose is back. What'd you guys think? Were you psyched to see him? What did you think this was a cool way to debut Dean Ambrose? Give me your opinions. Gabba wee.
I think you know that no one in this room is ever psyched to see Dean Ambrose. Yeah. Why are you asking a question?
I hate Dean Ambrose. I think he's a marginal talent at best and one of the weakest people they ever put the strap on in the history of the title. I think he's one of the worst candidates to be a champion. However, in the limited... screen time we saw of Dean, he did nothing wrong, mediocre, or subpar. Dare I say this is the best Dean Ambrose performance I've ever seen. He just said nothing, came out, and got a pop.
Give it a little dirty deeds.
Yeah, which is a weak finisher, and he doesn't perform it well.
Your top guy, Foley.
Foley's not my top guy, but Foley also did the mandible claw and also had a lot of other gimmicks going on. He wasn't known for... I mean, that was his signature, his finisher, but like... Come on.
Yeah. But Arlen, I mean, I know what you want to talk about.
You know what I want to talk about. Hair take.
Okay,
Arlen, our resident bald guy.
Yeah.
Do you think
the follicle wizard?
There's a very short list of men.
Yeah.
That are losing their hair and shave their head but look better with the wisps?
Yeah.
Do you put Dean Ambrose in that category?
The wisp.
The will of the wisp. I do not. I think he looks
better.
He has that
shape.
Island. I'm not balding in that.
That's called a Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh yeah, he's got a Kiefer.
He's got a Kiefer.
Is that Kiefer a keeper?
Yeah, that Kiefer is a keeper.
Did you think the Kiefer is a keeper? I like this kind of like foppish hair. That was one thing I kind of dug about Dean Ambrose.
I think it worked.
I don't think it worked.
I thought that it was like a very unique haircut for a champion.
Because it's a bad haircut for a champion. It's not a good haircut. It's a terrible
haircut.
He also
was like, he's crazy, kind of like fell in his eyes, but I mean, whatever.
I don't need him to be a crazy guy with a shitty haircut. I could just be like a badass guy.
Well, I was very vocal on the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page 4 in the morning under his eye. I said that he should get an HT. He was off for 10 months.
Right.
Get a little transplant.
Well,
what's
you know my
deal?
You know my view.
What?
They should have a doctor on staff.
They should.
And every time you wrap up a match, because you get your hair pulled a lot in a match.
The guy who pumps suit.
They have to pump a few extra follicles in. Like, we're not talking. It's like everyday maintenance. They pop in 5 follicles. And then over time, you're looking great.
I mean, in pro wrestling, every single person should have Ultimate Warrior 1992 hair.
Like, it's very hard to be a guy losing your hair in wrestling because you have to keep it wet all the time, which is also the ultimate sin of a guy losing his hair.
Right.
It
thins you out.
Yeah, you got to
see the scalp.
Very tough. Flare it out.
Why wouldn't they keep a doctor? I mean, think of you again, hot business take.
Cut an expense.
Amortize the cost of those follicular implants across every wrestler on the roster.
Do you think it's cheaper to keep an HT guy on staff than the pyro? I mean, if you lose the pyro, you got a hair transplant.
I think the pyro is less expensive than the HT. Hair transplant is like a big technology.
That's not what I expected. Yeah.
Pyro's simple stuff. A little gunpowder, a little food coloring. I don't know what the fuck they put in there. But a hair transplant is a new one. You need to have a specialist.
Yeah.
You need to have a medical degree. Like, that's expensive stuff.
Yo, is it possible to get... Arlen, you're the hair transplant expert because you looked into a hair transplant but then decided to go full Stone Cold.
Well, you decided you're not a candidate.
And so you decided you're not a candidate.
I was told by the doctor I was not a candidate.
Did that hurt?
Yeah.
But you would have done it.
I spent 5 more years faking it, so it hurt.
Yeah.
It took me about 5 to 7 years to come to terms with that diagnosis.
10 years of dusting.
Yeah.
With Sharpie. So my question is it possible to get an HT, okay, hair transplant, that is like a full-on, like, long hair transplant? Can you get a hair transplant that will give you long hair?
Hang on. You can get a system... That could instantly, so a system is like a more permanent toupee where they, you know, they glue it on. Yeah. It's basically like what Travolta
has. Jason
Alexander
said he had a system.
No, but Travolta like gets a system and it's kind of like long. Nick Cage has one.
Travolta's looks horrible.
But he looks horrible in general. Yeah. A hair transplant, you get your normal hair transplanted in and it starts short and they have to do it on a shorter length. But then it can grow out over time. And so there are men who have had their hair transplanted that have long hair. You just have to grow it back out over time.
No, I understand that.
You can't start with like a ponytail. They can't transplant a ponytail.
I know that what it is, they take the hair from the back of your head and they put it into the top.
They harvest hairs. Right. And then they plant them.
This is a very roundabout way of asking for yourself.
Me?
Yeah. It's like, I know a guy.
Yeah, man, at some point I'm going to get an HT.
We got two candidates in the
room. Yeah, I mean, the visual means
it right from Shem's ass and put it right
Yeah, I got plenty of places to harvest from. I'm at no shortage of harvesting fields.
Between
yeah.
the three of us, we have about one head of hair.
Oh, that's bullshit. With me and Dan both have hair. We're just Shem's not in our 20s.
To, like, Locks for Love.
For bald guys? For Arlen? Arlen, I'll tell you what. I will.
The wings. The wings
the
and
angel
the
wings?
Lower back.
I got
yeah.
angel wings and a devil's tail.
Shem's could give a guy who's got no hair on his back from whatever surgery happened or whatever health crisis caused him to lose back hair. You could give at least six guys back hair.
100% true. But the question is, I have... Who is looking for back hair transplants? Like, who's like, man?
There are guys.
Yeah, I don't think there are.
Say like it's the beginning of your intro song. Like, what did you just say? The devil's hair and the.
I've got angel haircut. Wings and a devil's tail.
Okay, say that like it's the beginning of your entrance song.
Like the shield intro?
Like, here comes the pain. Yeah.
Angel wings, devil's tail.
Did that be your song? And you come out with your shirt off. Backwards.
I come out backwards,
yeah,
like Jericho.
Yeah.
With no shirt on. My back's not that hairy, guys.
Do it again.
There's people with hairier backs.
I've been accused of throwing you under the bus on this subject. I'm going to bite my tongue.
That hairy. I've got more back hair than you, hairless, you know, whatever you are.
Yeah.
But I've got less than other men. The sponsor of the show, Adam Letterman, has got more back hair than I do. Dan's father has more back hair than
I
do.
Sponsor of the show. I know that we said if you want legal advice, go to Adam Letterman. But also, if you want advice on nairing, or he goes to a waxing professional. When he goes on vacation, what he does is he gets his back waxed, and then they do a formation on his shoulders. He showed up to his wedding with basically like a drawing on
a beautiful
the front
pattern.
Of his
he had a beautiful
they,
pattern.
They round the shoulders, and they give him a whole formation on.
All
the
right,
front.
You just heard about our sponsor. Now you know.
I think he's going to pull his sponsorship now.
I know that because it's my best friend. Shebs wouldn't know that because it's his third best friend.
Obviously.
So that information
what are we
didn't
talking
get
about? Okay, this is guys, remember, this is a professional wrestling podcast coming at you. So you're saying if they get the follicles put in, you can get, can you get enough? Let's take me for example.
My hair has thinned significantly since I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
I think I still have what people would call a full head of hair.
Definitely, yeah.
It's just a little less than
that. I would call it foolish.
Okay, foolish. You could take from his sides, give him an HT, and then he can get enough coverage to go full like a stinger.
Well, so okay. It hurts when you get the transplant.
It's painful.
So most people will do it in sequence. In other words, like to get him to a real full state, he might have to go for a couple of sessions. And it also depends what kind of guy you want to be. Like, do you want to be a 19-year-old or do you want to get to be a 28-year-old? You know, do you want a full setup or do you want just a touch-up?
Okay. All right, let's parlay this into my next question about Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Well, he shaved his eyebrows. Okay.
Yeah, Are we sure?
What was going on there?
Yeah, he shaved his eyebrows.
It's from the ooze.
Oh, it fell out. Oh, yeah. They were singed off by the ooze, right. The city of the ooze. Thank God for the protection of the eyebrows, the evolutionary purpose of the eyebrows to protect you from ooze. Mm-hmm. So the eyebrows, like, he shaved them. I didn't know. I was just like, he looks so different. And then someone pointed out to me that he'd shaved his eyebrows. Do you think that, I mean, it's so, he's definitely, and he's wearing the Asylum shirt, so he's sticking with the lunatic.
Right, and shaving your eyebrows is like a typical crazy person thing to do.
He's also juiced to the gills.
Yeah, he got jacked.
Well, he's not juiced, but he's jacked. I don't think he's digging, I don't think he's juicing. No, because he was off, you mean?
Yeah, and he came back like significantly more. What? He just like went on a fun workout regimen.
No, he's probably eating. He had like 10 months off. He's eating
the standard
like
30,000
calories a
day. Yeah, the standard practice of a wrestler is you leave
You juice a little bit.
You juice.
And then like, you come back, so you take your wellness policy.
He was working out before.
Well, that anyway, so the thing is, that's why I'm optimistic about Dean Ambrose.
You are so naive, Dan.
He's still going to suck on the mic. He's still going to suck in the ring, but at least he looks cool now.
Well, he doesn't suck on the mic. He's good on the mic.
His promos are like the
his
most
promos
juvenile.
Are not good, but he's good on the microphone.
He's got the
he
most.
He is charismatic. There is a skill. Like, Dean Ambrose is, I don't like him. I didn't like what he was up to. I did
right.
not get into that his whole title run. I wasn't into any of it. But he is, like, a worthy WWE guy.
I don't know, man. He's like the king of like this like ironic detachment that was cool 15 years ago.
Don't like his ironic detachment.
It's
that's
like
my
it's
biggest
so
Dean Ambrose
dated.
Complaint.
Like his promo, like it's he's like the, if you still miss like the angsty
Raven,
teen bullshit.
Raven derivative.
Yeah, he's just a derivative. He's what I say about him is like if Dolph Ziggler's gimmick is he's just like a clear like 90s wrestler guy. You know, like his gimmick, like he looks like a cross between like Shawn Michaels. You know, he just has like this oozes that era of like classic wrestler. Dean Ambrose oozes like, he's just like, his gimmick is like attitude guy. You know, he just looks like a guy from that
he
era.
He has a little bit of machismo right. that I think people probably respond to that's kind of not as present anymore.
Where are they going with Dean Ambrose?
He's just
hopefully
gonna, he's
nowhere.
Gonna be, so he's going to be valeting, he's the valet for Seth Rollins. He came back on Raw, which is like interesting that they blew that moment. Maybe they were trying to just hype up SummerSlam.
I think they were hyping up SummerSlam. I get the move. I mean, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah. Also, not every comeback needs to be a run-on like
pay-per-view
like,
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was cool. I also like, it was a great way to end Raw. Raw, I think,
sure.
especially because SmackDown ended kind of, like, dull.
It was a high spot.
There is one thing. Three Shield members are face at the current time.
And on Raw.
And are on good terms with each other and on Raw, so there's something.
Yeah, it would be strange to put any of them back in the Shield right now.
No, but I think they're going to keep teasing, like, obviously they, you know.
Well, they'll just have each other's back. I always like when they just have a loose, like, yo, you need a tag partner tonight? Like, obviously it's going to be me because we do it in that Shield thing.
I like that angle, but, like, the thought of the Shield existing again, it makes me nauseous because I think Dean Ambrose is such a C talent. Roman Reigns is such a bullshit, annoying talent.
Yeah.
And Seth Rollins is great. So I feel like it's just, like, a waste of Seth. Like, I'd rather see Seth Rollins be solo than hang out with those two losers.
Seth Rollins is the one who loses on being in the Shield.
Right.
Yeah. And he's
That's why he left in the first place.
Yeah, it's always been. Yeah, well, we talked about that in another episode. Go back like 5 or 6 episodes. I gave a whole arc about why I think Seth Rollins is one of their best long-term storytelling
100%
that they've had. And the burn it down gimmick. I was explaining what the burn it down gimmick means to me.
Yes, personally.
But they don't really. The way he uses it is just like, what's up, Arkansas? Time to burn it down. But it does have a really cool thing about burning down his old cheating self.
Right.
But it's the same as the rebuild
gimmick. Reuse, recycle, remix.
No, because he came back as a heel then. Remember? Then
Right.
I know what's going on with Rollins. He's a guy who needs to give himself incentive to keep going to CrossFit every day, and so he just convinces himself that he's rebuilding all the time and he's working towards something. That's just gym mentality.
I smartly cut out some of my notes here so that I knew we would get so derailed, but I'm saying, Dean Ambrose, what do you think he does? Is he going to heel turn at,
I mean,
is
I
it,
don't
is a good
so.
Chance he costs Rollins the title?
And then, like, joins up with Ziggler and...
I mean, no, not joins up, but he just could go heel and just be like, yo, fuck you, Seth, I don't need you. He looks super heelish. Like,
yeah,
his look looks very
the most
heel.
Interesting thing they could do is have him get into a program with Seth, and so let Dolph retain the IC, let him run with that, him and McIntyre doing good work. Maybe they make a go at having two belts or something like that.
Yeah.
Not that that's never
a heel Ambrose seems really valuable to me.
Yeah, and has he ever really been a heel? No.
No.
So, I mean, I think it's worth pulling the trigger on that. The most interesting thing they could ever do with the Shield ever again is have like a triple threat for big stakes.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
That's the only interesting thing. Like, and what I mean by that is the winner gets to free steak dinner. They all get huge porterhouses. And the guy who gets pinned has to buy them all the big steaks.
I would love that. They have
different
steaks
cuts
in a
of
shark
meat.
Cage.
No, different cuts of meat.
They
you get to pick your cut of meat.
Yeah.
I mean,
big steaks match.
That's
you're,
my favorite
you're
way
to hold on.
The best shit about wrestling is if they had a fucking full-on carving station
they
at
would
the top
do
of the ramp.
No, they need that guy
like,
who
those
throws
those are those
salt.
Steaks.
Oh,
look
Salt
at
Bay?
That.
Yeah, who's, get Salt Bay out there.
They got fucking, like, we got Peter Luger is in the house. He's himself. He seasoned the meat. He seasoned it. Peter Luger's here. All right, go.
I just feel like it's not fair to say that the only interesting thing they can do with the Shield is to have a triple threat.
Whether to feud with the New Day?
No, at some point they're going to reunite the Shield and there's money in that. I mean, people will pop for that. There's no question. I'm not saying that you have to be excited about it. I just think...
All right, let me rephrase. The only interesting thing they could do to me would be to have a triple threat for big, juicy steaks.
All right.
Wait, what was your...
Hanuman, Hanuman.
Okay.
That is terrible. The fact that I've seen a bunch of rich white people in San Francisco with their tech money just singing Hanuman makes me sick.
Yeah, you think they're not doing it in New York too, pal?
It's worse over there.
Yeah. Also, there's poor people here. All right, so Dean Ambrose is back. We'll see what happens. Okay, let's get into the Paul Heyman...
Yeah,
macing of Roman Reigns.
I got worked.
Yeah,
I didn't think he. I thought he was truly extending an olive branch to Roman, that he wanted to be in his corner and help him out. I did not see the macing.
Well, he went for a pen, right? Because he was.
I don't know what he went for. He went for a pen. He gave him like a letter. He's like, read this contract.
And then I felt like he was going to get like a pen. He's like, I'll give you a pen to sign it. That's what I thought.
I don't think he. No, because he said like, look it over later.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying let's sign it now. He's like, look that over later. Oh, and one more thing. It's like when you reach for change for a homeless person and then give him the finger instead.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, and one more thing.
Wait.
No, that's a thing I do.
When does that happen?
Well, all the time.
You actually do that?
It's hilarious.
I think that's like a Dice joke.
Not hilarious.
I think that's an Andrew Dice Clay
joke. Not hilarious.
I don't really do that.
I'm pretty sure that's an Andrew Dice Clay joke.
I hope it is. So, but I'm just saying, he was reaching for something else. I don't think it needed to be a pen. I'm just like, oh, by the way, oh, and one more thing. Oh, I mace you in the face.
Yeah. I loved it. The promo was great. Paul Heyman does what he does like no one else
can.
He's
the best. Best in the biz.
Paul Heyman was just, he makes it personal, by the way. Like, that whole thing about, like, I knew your dad. I traveled
with
your
dad.
Yeah, he
said, what did he say in Samoan? He said some phrase in Samoan.
Yes.
No one knows. I wish he said what it meant. We'll never know unless we have a Samoan call into the show.
So the promo was great, and it was like Roman. I didn't get worked in the sense that I thought that Roman was going to accept, but I did.
No one thought that, but
here's my problem. With this thing, it's my big complaint with the whole Roman Brock storyline is, so what happened here? I guess we don't fully know. Paul Heyman was swerving, was working.
Wait,
Roman,
you're trying to make sense of wrestling
yeah,
right now.
The thing is,
we're
going to
get into dangerous territory.
Right. They don't know.
This is what happened last time. Same thing when they handcuffed Roman and he beat up a couple of U.S. Marshals. Like, it's off game.
And then they're like, they were fake U.S. Marshals.
Right. The whole storyline they had going that was working, that was getting over, it got over on the WrestleMania lead up was that Brock doesn't care and Brock doesn't even think about Roman.
Right.
Now he's going to chicken shit heal him?
Well,
he's like, oh, I'm going to mace him and then beat him up? Why was Brock even there, first off? Like, when he's there, it's a big deal.
It's the go-home show.
Right. So, but I'm saying is that, like, Brock beat the living shit out of Roman at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He cracked him open. Why would he all even care about Roman, let alone...
This is why everyone hates Roman. There isn't an explanation for why he deserves to be in this match.
And if the story is that he actually is, like, underlying because of what happened at Saudi Arabia, and he technically won, and he actually is threatened by Roman, then, like, show that a little bit before the fact that, like, he's just gonna recklessly spray him in the eyes, see that as some gift for his enemy that he didn't care about at all in the lead up at all, who he never shows up to fight.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's bad writing.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's all over the place.
I think they're going for the thing. Like, I think the whole point of what happened when the fence came down and the feet touched the ground was that Roman technically won and that Brock is somehow threatened by.
Well, that was an
Roman.
Accident, right? That was an actual accident.
I think he was supposed to spear him through the thing and, like, have. They thought Lesnar's feet would hit the floor first. They didn't think about, like, the logic of that. If he's on the cage, how is his feet going to touch?
Yeah.
Like, I think what was meant to happen is, like, he gets speared through the cage.
That is such a major oversight.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing over there.
Yeah, like, do you think about that? Like, because I remember specifically being like, it's whoever's feet hits, they say feet. They don't just say, like, whoever hits.
Right.
Because his back hit.
But the thing is, if I were them, I would just say... Yeah, the rules of this cage match, because it's Saudi Arabia, the rules are a little different in their federation. It's the first person to make contact.
That requires forethought.
If they were just like, fuck the rules, because wrestling throws their continuity
out the
window.
Well, I like that they admitted that it was that Roman actually won.
I didn't need that. I think it would be so much better if they would just be like, yeah, the rules of this match, Lesnar touched the ground first, he's the winner. And Roman said, well, in a rumble, it's the feet thing. Besides, I knocked him through that cage. He never would have won unless I knocked him through the cage. That's such a better angle to me than, like, well, technically my feet hit the ground first.
Well, and also, didn't we want to go into Summer? Didn't you guys want to go? I feel disappointed that I was like, oh, cool. They're going to give it. Similar to what I like about the whole, like, briefcase thing. You're like, oh, we're going to go into Mania or SummerSlam, and you're not going to know Paul Heyman's allegiance.
Yeah, that would have been cool. That would have been good writing.
Yeah.
I think there's still ghosts of that.
Because he's like, I'm going to give you the paper. Roman is like, maybe he says to the Roman where Roman's like, all right, I'm going to keep it.
Yeah.
It's too sophisticated.
You know what I mean?
It's too sophisticated.
He could tear it up at SummerSlam. Right. But like,
that would have been the good writing. And I think they set up this cool thing, and then they just, at the last minute, abandon it in favor of just like generic heel stuff.
Right.
Which they did last time.
Which they always do.
They were building something, and then they're like, fuck this. Let's just get generic heel.
Let's get a reaction now.
They're like, we got Brock tonight. It's like, well
they want reactions now. They don't want to wait for payoffs. They want the reaction in that moment.
Like, imagine if this whole build was similar to I don't know. I guess it's such a weird story. It's all over the place because you're like, who is, like, why? Maybe Roman can be like, yo, Lesnar, you're scared of me. But then Roman can't win because if he says I actually beat you, people boo him for that. They hate that.
Right,
Because it's like, dude, you got so many chances.
I would call this unseasoned beef.
Yeah.
They just have beef and beef and beef, and they're not putting some spice on it. They're just giving me the same old hamburger meat, and I'm tired of it. I have two notes from this week. One of my notes is about Roman Reigns.
Right.
I have the word here in my notes, drowning with a D.
Yeah, I have that. Yeah,
Roman
.
Reigns pronounces drowning as drowning.
Drowning.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Because he's stupid.
Yeah, but that's not what surprises me. I'm amazed he's able to get, when you look like that.
It wasn't
and have
a slip of
physique,
the tongue one time. It was a multiple time thing.
I can't believe he pronounces all the other words right.
Yeah, he's a real idiot.
That's it.
I'm sick of this fucking numbskull. I'm sick of him. Get him out of here.
I just want Strowman and Brock.
Remember Suffering Succotash?
Oh. Who could forget?
What was he talking about?
I don't know.
Was that to the big show?
He did like a Jack and the Beanstalk thing.
Yeah, he did something about you don't have the fucking.
Let me tell you a story about the beans.
No, that's you. You're talking about yourself.
Yeah, you're talking about your plums. But I think that he also did a thing in the promo Heyman was like, this is the lesson I learned from your father. He was like, he also taught me this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Is that? And it was like, he said, when the most dangerous people are people who are like desperate.
Who are drowning,
right? Yeah. And you are drowning. Oh, that's why he said it.
And you're drowning.
And, everything he says is boring.
That line also made no sense. My dad said to watch out for sharks, but the most dangerous sharks are the ones that are drowning? No, they're not. That's the least dangerous type of shark.
Yeah.
Why would his father's a smart man. He would never say something that stupid.
Yeah, whatever.
Roman is terrible.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying that he got better. Guess what? He's still terrible.
I just want to make a comment about Heyman.
Yeah.
Heyman has a thing to me that is an extension of what makes Stephanie so special, which is he makes the kayfabe world feel very real.
And
like
very
he
important.
Lives he lives the kayfabe.
Yeah.
Like it truly feels like Paul Heyman is living wrestling top to bottom fully.
With full sincerity. There's no detachment.
Correct.
There's nothing what Ambrose have is like a lot of ironic detachment. Like, oh, this is stupid. Like, what are we doing here today, fellas?
Everything feels very important and very real to Paul Heyman. Like the stakes are high.
Yes, and he believes it and he's sincerely in it. Like that's perfect character work. Because he's living the gimmick.
But almost no one has that.
Yeah, it's very rare. The people who have it are the fucking best.
But also, it's hard to do. It requires,
I think Alexa kind of does it, too.
You know,
full buy-in.
Yeah.
Full. You can't. The ironic detachment is there's a spectrum of that, and that's the thing that's so offensive. Because it's like, I'm too cool for this. Heyman's not too cool for anything. He's fully engaged, and you have to risk kind of looking like an idiot, but the payoff is way better.
Well, what I'll say about I brought it up some other week on this podcast. He is the best at looking pathetic. Like, he could go from pathetic to empowered in a second, but
his face is very, it's a pathetic.
He's a pathetic creature.
Yeah. So who wins that match? All right, let's factor in the briefcase. So Braun, Kevin Owens. I mean, who? Two questions. One,
I have
who
picked
wins
Roman
match?
Every time, and I've been wrong every time.
Right. Yeah. Who wins that match? And then separately, who walks out with the strap?
Right. This is actually, people think it's pretty cut and dry. Like, oh, of course Roman's going to beat Brock.
Yeah.
Brock's not leaving with the belt. I think there's still some chance, at least 25%, that Brock walks out with his belt. And it's very interesting because there's four people whose names we could put in this sandbox right now. KO, Braun, Roman, or Brock. I think the one who is least likely to walk out with the belt is Roman Reigns. I would put him last, dead last. I don't think he's going to beat Brock either. I don't think they want him getting a clean win over Brock. If he does, it's with some bullshit. and then he'll get stripped, and someone else will walk up with the title, whether it be KO or Braun.
Well, doesn't this start from, do you believe Brock is coming back or not? And I would just say, I do. I mean, every time he's left, he's come back.
He'll be back.
I think there's no reason to think he's not coming back, and so they're going to want him to go out strong.
Strong, exactly. There's
and
people
that's
like,
it.
Why do they want to protect Brock? I'm like, no, because he'll be back,
and
by the way.
And he's the money. Like,
yeah,
they protect
the
him because he's the main eventer.
Right.
I believe Roman has been cashed in on twice before.
Yeah.
I think he got cashed in by Ambrose and Sheamus. Am I wrong?
And
I think
Seth, in a way.
Well, yeah. With the chair shot?
With WrestleMania 31.
Oh, shit.
With the
three
greatest
times?
With the heights of the century.
We were there.
I forgot because I was trying to keep my erection down for a minute.
But
yeah,
so
I love that.
Sheamus cashed in on him.
My favorite wrestling moment of all time.
That you just forgot about?
Yeah. The one that literally I made a viral stand-up clip about it because I love it so much.
That one.
Yeah, I remember that.
So Sheamus, so Seth, Sheamus, and Ambrose. No, Ambrose cashed in on Rollins, who beat
Roman
clean.
Clean.
And I like that.
Yeah, with a pedigree.
So everyone in the Shield is cashed in on each other.
I think they were punishing Roman because that's when I think
he got the steroids.
Right.
So that was everyone in the Shield has pinned someone else in the Shield to win the belt.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Can I correct something you said earlier, Dan?
Seth pinned Roman. Ambrose pinned Seth. And in that stupid tournament we all knew Roman was going to win, Roman pinned Ambrose. In a triangle.
Important point of clarification that I think should live on in the podcast. You did not make a viral stand-up clip. You made a stand-up clip, and we, the people, made it viral.
Oh, okay. Are you one of the people?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched it.
San Francisco rich guy?
I watched it at least three times.
Okay. You had a great wrestling character.
The San Francisco
rich executive?
No, tech bro.
tech bro is such a great... Well, I mean, that's the thing about... They're missing out on... wrestling is so...
Because it's in a bubble.
That father thing was so dated to me. It was like,
they're in a bubble.
It was like, oh, these roles of... And people are like, oh, it's progressive bullshit. Like say that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, nothing... We could, yeah, like, what, these characters are all, like... I like that Heyman's like a throwback weasel. But we could have some new age. Why don't we don't have a... There's no guy wearing a Bluetooth.
They need some guy who takes like one of the scooters, like a lime,
guys,
to the ring.
Right.
That's exactly what you need.
Wait, by the way, Bluetooth was what I meant. I was like, they're not with the times at all. They don't have any Bluetooths. That's what I said. That was it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's so many things to tap into.
Yeah. People, I mean, they kind of have Tyler Breeze being obsessed with selfies. That's a little current.
Well, that character, like a millennial character.
It. Yeah.
I'm like, I was looking at what Eliza Schlesinger's doing for her special.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is like better character work than what Breeze is doing.
Guys,
I bring
this up just because we're on it.
Yeah.
I think it's totally irrelevant, but also slightly relevant.
Yeah.
Did you read about the millennial couple that decided to bike around the world? They went on a bicycle trip around the world to prove
that
people.
The San Francisco Tribune?
Hang on. Before you make jokes, hold yourself.
Big news in San Fran. A couple biked around. We don't give a shit about people biking in New York.
Hang on.
Yeah.
This couple, millennial couple, one of the guys is from Jersey or they lived, I don't know where they lived. They biked around the world to try to prove, they were like hipsters. They lived in a tiny house, whatever. They wanted to prove that all people love each other and that people are truly kind deep down.
That was their thesis.
Biking through Tajikistan and ISIS killed them.
That's great. I love that.
Wow.
have it on video.
You love that?
I don't love that they died, but I love that these fucking dipshits who are like, the world
is
full of love. It's like, no, the world is not full of love, man. The world.
You cut out?
No, we need Sarah to cut Chebs out of the
podcast. I don't like ISIS. I fucking hate ISIS more than anything. They're my number one. They're
Shebs
my
is
number
pro
one.
ISIS.
I'm not pro ISIS.
ISIS did something. Shebs is like, I love it. I'm totally on board.
I'm just saying, these are probably two of the most annoying fucking people with one of the most annoying theses. Their whole thing is that they don't hate ISIS. They're like, these are people too. You know, I'm going to show you that they're just like us. They're not fucking like us. They hate us, and they're the worst.
You know what's insane to me? You know, hang on. Get that shanty off.
Okay,
you know what's insane to me? That you come to me first and say, I could be a great wrestling heel. You skip over Jebs?
No, I just said you'd be a great wrestling character. Shevs would play that character.
Yeah,
I am. Great, that makes sense. That. Now we're
Shevs would play the character. No, but Shevs has a good point. Like, it's almost like in the Sacha Baron Cohen liberal character.
Right, exactly. They got what they deserved, right. In a way.
The guy who talks about, he's like, when my wife's making love to other men, I sit outside, listen to a podcast, right. Put on my noise-canceling headphones, yeah, and I hope she has a great time.
They were acting like caricatures of, like, millennial liberals, and they got treated like, they got a welcome to the real world.
Adults.
It's like, you're going to be a caricature. Well, the world is real.
Like, some shit is just straight evil.
Right.
Like, some stuff is the Joker. You're not gonna give the Joker love. He's wired bad.
Did you guys see the When We Were Young, the Ben Stiller?
Yeah.
Those millennials.
Our sponsor of the show is When We Were Young with Ben Stiller and Adam Driver and Amanda Seyfried.
But I feel like that's exactly what those Adam Driver and Amanda Seyfried in that movie, where like everything is so important. They're like living in an alternate universe that's not this one. And then
right.
sometimes you wake up and you walk down the street and somebody punches you in the face.
Right. Yeah, I like that movie. That was a cool movie.
I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah.
All right, so to clarify, I'm not pro ISIS, but I am kind of tickled by the fact that these people got murdered.
And
I don't think you said anything we got to cut today so far, so
good,
I think
good.
We're good.
In the first of a recurring series.
By the
series,
way, at the end, best of 2018, we're going to have all the Shevs edits.
Everything you've cut out that I've said on this podcast.
Yeah, no,
all the Shevs.
Remember when you used to
just
do
to
the
burn this place down.
Jerry Springer blooper releases?
Yeah.
That's what we'll do, like the Too Hot,
Too
for,
hot
TV.
For TV.
I got news for you. If you're listening to this podcast, I've said plenty of shit that they edited out.
I got to keep time marks.
It's because you're a mean guy. But in the first of a recurring series.
A bully who became a bully.
Cow film picks. Dan's Cow Film Picks, When We Were Young, is the first.
Yeah, guys, that's my number one favorite movie, okay? And that's what we watch. Okay, so, all right, let's move on to, who do you think walks out with the belt? That's what I want to hear.
Oh, boy.
These predictions have been fucking pointless. Guys, check out another podcast if you're looking for predictions, but if you're looking to fucking have fun. Gabba. Gabba-wee.
Yeah,
I would
let him finish the gabba-wees.
Sorry.
Very important.
Man. Yeah. Hit another one. Give me another one.
You interrupt me. I call you fucking gabba-weasel. Okay?
Give me another one. Hit
gabba.
Me.
Gabba-wee. You do one.
I was just going to let it air out a little.
Oh, yeah. Let that breathe.
Gabba, gabba-wee. It's like a woosah. It really helps you get it out.
Sure.
Okay. Woosah. I think KO is an interesting person to walk out with the belt because he can be trusted. Like you,
right.
It's a good guy to put the strap
He's
on.
So good.
He's
I think
best.
Strowman is just interesting at this point. I would like to see that personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like, to me, KO is a good plan B.
Yeah. I hope to God Roman walks out with that title. We need that to just happen. I mean, I want that. Just have Roman have the title, man. I mean, not that that's going to... I think all wrestlers think the cure for Roman is just, like, letting Roman run his course or whatever. It's like he's a virus that just needs to, like, let him run his course. You
right.
know what I mean? But, I don't know. I don't want Strowman to have the title for some reason.
Roman's had the title.
No,
and
Strowman.
It wasn't cool. Yeah, no, Strowman. I mean, here's what I think is going to happen, or maybe it's just what I want to happen.
Yeah.
This is how I see it playing out. KO wins the briefcase.
Yeah.
KO walks out with the belt.
Yeah.
Strowman feuds with KO for a title run, and Roman inserts himself into it for a triple threat situation, and Roman wins the belt in some sort of iteration of the feud between him and Strowman or him and KO.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool options. That's the main thing, is that this is cool because there's like a lot of options.
Right.
You know, we have four potential guys who could walk out as the champion,
right.
And it's going to unfold as the night goes on. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I think we might be there. I don't know.
The worst thing that they could do is have Roman clean win over Brock.
And then no cash in.
Yeah. But also, a Roman clean win over Brock is stupid. Because the money is Brock. Have him leave. Have him come back.
I want Strowman to like toss Kevin Owens off of like the Titantron.
Right.
And then
and lose.
DQ.
No, yeah. Kevin Owens
and
is,
Kevin
is
Owens
winning.
Hobbles in for a cash, and then we see a match of two fucking guys who are completely beat up.
Right. I think the stipulation is key. The fact that KO could win anyway.
We've never seen a non-fresh cash in. We've never seen the cashier inner be not fresh.
Be not fresh.
Because it's stupid.
Yeah.
Is that the cashie?
The cashier. Yeah.
No, it's
the cashier. Not the cashier inner.
No, not the cashier.
Not the cashier.
It's the cashier and the cashier.
Okay. Anyway, Kesha. So, all right, let's move on to SmackDown quick.
SmackDown coming back to Friday. SmackDown, it's on Friday.
1 billion deal on Fox. SmackDown on Fox. SmackDown.
Do the whole thing?
SmackDown. Yeah.
Right now it's on Tuesdays, and it's SmackDown Live, but it's moving to Fridays in October 2019. Fox SmackDown, know what I mean.
Okay, all right. Great work right there. All right, I thought Carmella cut a great promo at the top of Raw.
She really cooled off this podcast.
What?
You really cooled off this podcast.
Yeah, okay, should I bring us back?
Two minutes of that song.
Okay, sorry about that. I needed a break. But yeah, so I'm a big Carmella mark. I know that. I listen to other podcasts and they shit on Carmella a lot, and I'm always like, oh, that character I think is really fun.
Yeah,
I think she's so obviously a heel to the point where she even annoys me sometimes.
Yeah,
where Alexa never annoys me. I'm always on Alexa's side fully.
I'm always kind of in awe of how good Alexa
right.
can work the crowd. Like she's a better heel, right?
Yeah, sometimes Carmella is just annoying where I'm like, oh, you left too many times. But I'm like, eh, this is heel heat, though.
And Carmella is a little bit worse of a performer.
Yeah.
I think that's clear. The thing that's what got tapped into this week that was awesome, which I never really thought about, is that they said it, that Carmella is like a throwback Divas champion.
She's a diva in a women's division.
Right, and she was like, fuck yeah, I am. And I think that's great. That really crystallizes what she is.
So, yeah. But by the way, I just want to say, we know there's a mole listening to this podcast.
Right.
My thing was that I said, I wanted James Ellsworth to be carrying the butterfly belt. I wanted James Ellsworth to be the last diva.
Right.
I wanted that incorporated into that universe.
Sure.
Okay? But yeah, like, Carmella, yeah, she's a diva, which is a great way to combat the fact that people complain that she can't work. She's like, I don't have to work. She's like, she literally was just like, I don't have, like, look at me. Yeah, goddamn, I'm a diva. Look at my fucking body.
Yeah, she was really like healing off about how she was hotter than them. Which is like,
I loved it.
You don't see in wrestling anymore.
She was like, you guys are disgusting.
But it's funny if one of, I mean, they're also very attractive.
They're all
too,
beautiful women.
But it's very funny. To go to the gimmick, like, I'm a heel because
being a
mean girl.
Right. Like, being a mean girl is a fun thing.
Yeah, she was body shaming them and, like, just, like, even though it didn't make sense, it was just being mean.
And it was really, it's a really fun angle to take because if you're the bad guy, that's, like, that's a classic bad guy stance.
Yeah. I mean, I think Carmella walks out with the title because I think they keep having Becky and Charlotte tag because the match at Evolution will be Becky, Charlotte versus Sasha and Bayley for the belt. It'll be the four horsewomen for the first ever women's belt.
One horse in that race that deserves that belt.
Right.
You're a big Charlotte mark.
Charlotte.
Huge Charlotte mark. But also, that's just
her
facts.
Her teeth are so white.
Well, no, they're
fake. Caps.
She has veneers.
Yeah, they're veneers.
But they're like, yeah.
You know who has crazy white veneers?
Yeah.
Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
His top teeth don't even look like his bottom teeth.
It's all wrestling.
And they're so big. They're too big. He had a bad veneer. Bad veneer guy. I really hope they don't waste Charlotte at Evolution in a tag match against Sasha and Bayley.
But that match could like steal the show. You know what I mean? Like,
it could. I don't know. I'm gonna go crazy renegade. I barely
forgot to talk about Ziggler because he was on here.
I barely believe in this, but I somehow have a feeling that Becky's gonna win.
Mm. Yeah, I think
they're
gonna build.
Do
I just think they're gonna give it to her.
Well, she can work. She's like, she's female. Why am I blanking? I'm having a brain fart.
Okay, well, wipe your brain ass.
KO and
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn. She's female Sami Zayn to me.
She's female Sami Zayn. Yeah, they're both gingers.
Well,
the cool thing
about Becky going,
they're good
into,
workers
going
who are less
Evolution.
Exciting than the other one.
And,
but
and
I
like,
think Zayn
lack
is
a little
going
charisma.
Into Evolution, she's a worker.
Yeah.
Right? So if the Evolution pay per view is about women's work rate,
right?
You know what I mean?
Well, of course, yeah, no, she deserves it.
But like, look, but here's
it.
The deal: the titles have to be defended at Evolution.
That's what I'm saying.
So like, why? But you can't put that, Charlotte. That Becky
has to be the
right. So like, I think Becky could be the champ going into Evolution and have a great SmackDown Women's Championship match. Someone's got. Who's gonna fight Carmella? Carmella.
Wait. I'm giving
Queen
my
Charmella.
Charmella.
Queen Charmella should
Queen
fight
Charmella.
Carmella.
Well, and clearly like, there's gonna be a tag team Charlotte and Carmella someday. Of Charmella.
Charmella.
That actually, if Charlotte and Carmella had to team up for the tag, and like just Charlotte kept having to like tag her in reluctantly
right.
and stuff,
and
I would love that.
They're called Charmella.
Charlotte is so good.
And their manager is Queen Charmella. That'd be great.
Well, their manager is Ellsworth. Dressed as
Queen Charmella, then he'd be wearing blackface. That'd be terrible.
Oh, wow. All right.
Cut that out. Sarah, cut that out.
Yeah.
Why? If he dressed like Queen Charmella, he'd be wearing blackface, and that would be terrible. There's nothing wrong with saying
Shep's
that.
No, Shep's just correcting my Okay, I can't. All right. Anyway, okay. Randy Orton lurking in the shadows.
Love.
That
Love
was
it.
Fucking awesome.
Amazing. I've never seen that angle on a wrestling show.
Yo,
great camera work.
That was like, sometimes you see something about wrestling and you go like, yeah, like why aren't they exploring that? You're right.
Beautiful. And let me tell you something.
Just taking the curtain like,
being a creep.
I'm like, peek. I'm doing
my mic.
He's
doing
a little
Orton on the mic. He looked threatening. He looked reptilian.
Vampiric.
He looked, you know, something disgusting, reviling about him. You know, it was revolting. He's amazing. He's in an incredible zone right now. Couldn't be more happy with what Orton's doing in ring and out of ring.
Okay.
He's not getting fired, so fuck off with that take. It ain't happening.
I feel like we...
No, look, whatever. We're not going to get into the Orton dick thing, but I'll just say,
he's
like...
He's not getting fired.
Everything... Part of the beauty of wrestling is that your real life factors into these characters.
Of course,
he's
a perfect heel.
So if he's doing things that are getting heel heat outside of the ring, it does help the character.
That's amazing.
That's undeniable.
That's the Montreal Screwjob. That's Vince being Vince. There's nothing better than if a guy you're supposed to hate in the ring, you're supposed to hate him out of the ring.
Right.
That's when it becomes fucking perfect.
The problem is when they're a face.
There's three layers to this shit, and he's operating on all the layers.
Right.
I think the three of us can't be trusted on this subject because I feel like we look at Randy Orton the way like a couple of high school cheerleaders look at the quarterback on the football team.
Yeah.
Like, we're just hot for this guy.
I think he's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't see straight.
Yeah, I think he's. I don't know.
If I talked to him, I'd be like, what? And then I would actually grab his
dick.
Well,
first of all,
yeah, by accident.
I'd be talking to his belly button.
He is enormous. He's a huge
guy. Guy's a stud.
Maybe last week he did say something about how, like, his indies, his coming up was like in front of a million people. You know, like that's how he got, how he learned to wrestle. I thought that was a really cool angle also.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, so cool. I don't think Orton's even, I don't even think Orton's wrestling yet. I don't think he's wrestling at the pay-per-view, but he's probably going to be involved. You know, he's probably going to maybe do the thing he's really good at, which
he's
is just RKOing
out of nowhere,
which is, it's, if people are like, that's all he does, that's all you need to do.
That's all he needs.
When you have something that good, I don't know. I'm so excited for where he's at. I was kind of bummed that it was like, oh, he's getting heat where he might be fired
or
something.
There's no chance he gets fired.
Okay.
Unless this is the tip of the iceberg and there's a lot worse shit than what's been reported.
Something that frustrated me.
Yeah.
These Daniel Bryan Miz segments.
Okay.
So they were really good. Okay.
I think they were good.
They were done really well. First off, one thing I know, Chebs, you will majorly agree with me.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan was horrible.
Yeah, he's boring.
He was horrible in these confessionals.
Yeah, because he's not interesting. He's
I don't
very
know if you
boring.
Call confessionals if they're just...
Yeah, the to-the-yeah. Camera interviews. Yeah.
I mean, they weren't to camera because he was reading.
Right.
All
right,
and he was reading. But it's like, dude, whoever was over there, it was so fucking important to that story for that to feel real.
Right.
And you could see his script. He's like, literally, he was like this. He was like, you know, and then I had the thought, like, I got to walk off because I promised Vince that I wouldn't punch anybody.
Right.
I'd write out my contract. And you're like, yo, fucking, we all think we're all worked right now.
Right.
We believe you really hate Miz.
Right.
And that moment you walked off, you were actually mad. We've all been, let's call it work because I don't actually know the inner workings that Talking Smack was actually a show where you could just speak your mind.
Just go, yeah.
Right? It was like a show that, and that's what we kind of all liked about it, is that we all thought it was super loose.
Yeah.
And there's definitely at least some truth to that. We know people have worked on it who have told us that. So I'm saying, then Daniel Bryan to come in and cut something that was so stiff about a feud that is so important,
so
that
hot.
I think could main event WrestleMania.
I think so, too.
Come on, man. Don't fuck. That was so bad.
Here's the deal. I mean, it also looks so bad because it's intercut with The Miz, who is incredible.
Yeah.
He's on another level. He's A+. And then you cut to Daniel Bryan, it's a fucking snooze fest. And what it boils down to is that
he didn't need to be not a snooze. That's my thing.
Daniel Bryan is trying
He doesn't have to be The Miz. He doesn't have to entertain. Miz is like
consummate
a rock level, like a rock style talent.
He's a consummate showman.
He's a stickman,
he's an entertainer.
He's a stickman. That's the whole beef, is that he's a work guy. So Daniel Bryan doesn't have to be great, but he has to say stuff that feels genuine.
He has to be believable. But here's the thing.
The writing was super good. That's the other thing. The writing was great.
He's trying to be believable.
Right.
He's trying to not be stiff. He's doing the best he can. And guess what, guys? It's like I've been saying my entire fucking life. His best isn't that good.
B+ at best.
That
was the first time I was like, I felt angry watching, like, Daniel Bryan angered me. I was like, this dude, come on, man.
You gotta do
better. I know you got a flight in an hour, but, like, cancel the flight. Get this right. Sit in that studio to get it right. Get a director in there to have him do a good job.
He could sit there for 3.5 weeks. Yeah. He's never going to get it right, man.
I believe he could do better than that. I could see him reading and be like, and then I went to the snack bar.
He's not charismatic of a talker.
I don't want to totally absolve Daniel Bryan of responsibility here, but what if this is WWE's fault?
No,
if there is real heat
they're complicit.
And then you hand someone a script and then he's working off the script and
got it. I bet they were like, yo, we're about to tape. We just banged this out in 10 minutes.
Sure.
It might have been editing it during the fucking show.
Who knows?
We know. That's how they do things. So I think that let's just give him a, let's say 60-40. Let's give the WWE more. But if I'm him, I'm pushing back. Ziggler was in here this week. Dolph Ziggler,
Intercontinental
Champion.
I could still smell him in the booth.
I could still smell the fucking cocoa butter.
He smells terrific.
Yeah, I don't know what he had on his skin, but he looked great. But
love his hair.
He
right
said
now.
He was like, he's like, there's things I fight for and I get in trouble for them. He's like, there's times where I'm like, no, I really want
to. We call that grabbing the brass ring, damn it.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. We talked about grabbing the brass ring. And he was like, there's times I've went for it and then I get in trouble. And I'm like, but you told me to go for it. We just got a spiel that we should all be going for it more. So I'm like, that's a moment where Daniel Bryan goes, I'm not leaving here until I feel like I got the way I feel about Miz on tape.
Right. He's phoning it in a little. That's the problem.
That felt like
not phoning it in.
He lost me. He better get me back, because if he keeps doing his fucking that moment, I was like, you're a nostalgia act until you earn me back.
Right. He's not phoning it in, though, guys. I got bad news. He's literally doing the best he's got, and that's the best he's got. They're handing him the perfect angle. This is probably the best angle he could ever be in again, and he's fucking tanking it because he's just not that good. Meanwhile, Miz, the show's got picked up for season 2 already.
Yeah.
Everything is
great.
Well,
also,
have you guys watched it?
No.
One episode.
I saw that where she was eating truffles.
It's pretty good.
It's good.
They have a great dynamic.
I'm just saying the Miz is carrying this feud. Mm-hmm. The Miz is making it interesting. He's making it compelling, and Daniel Bryan's just, we all love Daniel Bryan for whatever reason from the past, and he's just not good enough.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, giving Daniel Bryan the win over Miz is the worst thing they could do. It's the most boring thing they could do.
Yeah. If Daniel Bryan wins clean against Miz,
it's a waste of everything.
I might throw something.
This is a full "if Daniel Bryan wins, we riot" moment for me.
If Miz wins clean,
amazing. Then they could do something interesting for a change with Daniel Bryan.
It's so good for both of them.
It's so much more interesting. At the end of the day, Daniel Bryan doesn't have that mic stuff. He doesn't have that charisma stuff.
Then I can get work. Because then he could be like, hey, I was phoning it in before.
Right. Sure, let him say that.
That'd
be great.
Then he could say that. And he could be like, yeah, I was reading those promos now. And he could throw the prompter. And then I could be like, yo, this is amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
He could benefit from Brie.
Maybe. He could benefit from anything other than himself.
Brie?
Yeah.
Let's throw her in the mix.
She'll be involved later down the line.
I want Birdie
in the mic. She can work the mic a lot better than he can.
Yeah, you want Birdie.
I want Birdie. I want Monroe Sky to feud with Birdie.
Yeah, you want to take it to the Monroe Skies.
Exactly what I want to do.
Absolutely.
But look, I think you've said it before. You made the point, Dan. Daniel Bryan's not the work rate guy anymore, man. Maybe he still is. That's what he's got. But there's better wrestlers than Daniel Bryan right now. There's a lot of them. We got KO. We got Zayn. We got AJ fucking Styles. Daniel Bryan is not the guy anymore. So he's got to figure out something else, because just being Daniel Bryan is not enough anymore.
Yeah. All right. Let's cover. We all know how we feel about what we want to happen there. Let's cover. All right. Two more things. One thing. I want to talk about the Ziggler promo on Raw. I want to go back to Raw quick. I won't play the Raw song. But I thought Ziggler cut a great promo. We talked about it when Ziggler was in here. I thought it was a great promo. A couple things I really liked about him about it is, like, first off, there was a truth element, which is that, like, you guys all ditched me. Like, you liked me when I was – liked me. And then when I was down, none of you were there for me at all.
Yeah.
And he's like, so I don't like you now. I like that. Classic, but with him, very true.
True promo, good.
Yeah.
It comes from a real place. Love it.
I know he was disappointed in the way when he was in here, he was like, he thought he yelled it too much. Like, he was, like, disappointed. He was like, that could have been better.
Right, if it was more cerebral and less just, like, a yelly guy.
I think, actually, that's because the crowd was giving him not a lot of juice.
Right.
So then you lean harder into that.
He juiced it up.
And I don't think he should be mad at himself for that. I thought it was still really, really
good
great
promo. Yeah, good promo.
I sent you a text the other day. I feel like Ziggler's made big improvements on the mic.
Yeah.
I think he's come a long way. I mean, look, I don't know him personally like you do, though I did sit next to him at your wedding. And I observed very closely what he took to eat for dinner, because I wanted to know how those abs are getting so abdominally delicious.
Yeah.
But I do feel like whatever he's doing outside of the ring, improv, stand-up, whatever he's been up to me it is really helping him. And I think he's I think he is significantly, noticeably better on the microphone today than just a couple years ago.
Yeah, he plugged Caroline's.
He plugged Caroline's.
He was like, all right, well, Rollins not going to show up. It's cool. I'll just do a show at Caroline's this weekend.
Great way to plug your own shit. It was very slick. I liked it.
I like that. I also thought one thing that was really cool is that, and we talk about the Shawn Diesel comparison.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. We got some clarity on the McIntyre Mike Ziggler's relationship, which he was like, this isn't just like a guy who walks me to the ring. It was Jack. This guy fucking eggs me on.
Yeah,
that's what
cool.
He said. He eggs me on and pushes me to like be my best. Like,
he says, this psychopath pushes me.
Yeah, it was great. I can imagine these guys just like slapping each other in the face before
the
they
gym,
go out.
In the gym, they're lifting. I love it.
Yeah, I love that. And then I asked him, I was like, yo, do you and Drew really feel that way? He was like, yes. I asked him that this week. I was like, are you both, like, pissed off at the guys who fucking... I was like, yo, when they panned to you guys when you were both, like, sprawled out, beat up at the end there, and then they went to the Ambrose and Rollins, like, you see you guys, it's not that they look bad, it's just you guys look exceptional.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, I'm like, dude, there has to be some truth to all, man. He's like, yeah, McIntyre hates guys who don't work hard.
Love it.
How can you not? When you go to a Barry's class, and you see the person next to you not pushing it
that
hard.
Makes me so angry.
It drives
me. We're all on 8.0 and they're like on 3 just walking.
Because you're feeding off that energy.
They're just like, that's what I'm doing.
I made a point earlier about like Rollins needing that motivation to go to CrossFit every day. Like to me, if you're, you know, those guys that are working out super hard, you need to look around and find that motivation of like, look, the guy next to me has a better physique than I do. This is basically a competition. When you look around and you see bowling ball bellies, that sucks. Nobody wants that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. But his Ziggler's big point was like, there aren't that many guys like that. He's like, these guys are all working so hard.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You don't even see how hard like Zack Ryder is working.
I'm sure.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure.
He's like, these guys are animals and they're like fighting so hard to get on TV.
I mean, Ryder looks incredible, right?
I feel bad for Mojo.
Gotta go. What?
I feel bad for Mojo.
He
seems to me to be... No, I don't mean it that he deserves it. I'm just saying in the sense that he seems to be a guy who's working really hard who just doesn't have it.
I kind of like his, like, this... I would say I liked a lot of these heel runs he was doing. They haven't been able to tap into it, but there's something
he's too one-dimensional. He's just like a stomping bull, you know?
I don't know. I feel like anyone can find it. I'm like a weird optimist like that where I'm like, I feel like he could still figure it out. Like, he's not a zero.
I don't think he's going to figure it out on his own. I think he needs to be put in a...
He needs Gronk.
He needs other people.
He needs that Gronk energy.
I mean, if you put him in a stable with more seasoned guys that could really carry him, let him...
He can run the football stable.
I want to say one thing before I have to step out.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a hot take or not.
Yeah.
I like the B team.
I don't think it's a hot take. Unpopular, but
I think Curtis Axel's underrated. I think everything that he's been put
in. I
don't like Curtis Axel.
Do you disagree with this point? He has been given a lot of weird spots, and he's been, his dad's cool.
His dad's the best.
There's no better gift than the towel flip.
Oh my god!
Yeah. One of the greatest gifts.
Mr. Perfect, fantastic.
Still, anytime I see they last Raw, I think they just played like the classic, just like scoring every, you know, like the back, the half court, just like backwards shot. Like
tough to overcome.
So great.
But I think he's been put in a lot of interesting spots, and he's done, I think, pretty cool things with them. Like he's made something out of a lot of nothings, in my opinion.
I think he's a lot of nothing. I like Mojo Rawley better than Curtis.
I like Bo Dallas a lot. I always thought the Bo Leave thing had so much legs.
There's something
he
there.
He
looked
awesome in those suits.
Yeah,
he looks great in a suit. He has a very weird look to me. That
if
is
he
interesting.
Wears those suits, the Bo Leave thing is like if he had the Tony Robbins gimmick is so good.
Yeah,
and he was pulling it off. It needed more time. It needed the proper feud. He also needed a better look.
He needed a better physique.
His physique is bad, but he looks good when he's wearing the suits and stuff. If he has that look and he does that, and then when he wrestles, you see that his physique's bad. But he's a heel. It's okay.
I also, not to nitpick, I don't really understand the one driving glove. I don't know what's that about.
Oh, that's I drive.
It's just being. It's just like taking a stylistic choice just to take a choice. You know, just like let me have a thing.
All right, we got
to
cover one more thing before we go.
Well, I have another note.
Oh, all right. Well, then Arlen's probably got about.
No, Arlen, I was trying to get his note. One note.
All right, note me.
Huge week for the signature move.
Oh,
huge week. I love to see it. Jeff Hardy. Beat
Corbin.
Jeff Hardy beat who did he fight? Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
With a twist of fate.
Twist of fate.
Baron Corbin beat whatever dipshit he fought.
Tyler Breeze
with the deep
six. Yeah.
These guys were finishing matches with their very strong moves that are signature moves but not finishers. I love it because there's some really kick-ass signature moves. Seth Rollins' Falcon Arrow. Sami Zayn with the Blue Thunder Bomb. There's some really great.
It's almost like they had a meeting and were like, guys, we need to use these signature moves.
Yeah, we gotta
and
make
then everyone's
we gotta make them mean something, yeah, right? When a guy does a signature move and he goes for a pin, everyone's like, oh, that's he's not gonna win.
I love
like that
Ziggler wins with a super kick.
Sure. Well, Ziggler kind of has a different thing where he both are kind of his finisher.
Yeah. Like he can also win with a Famouser, I believe.
I think that's the signature move at this point. At one point, it was the finisher. Now it's the signature move. The super kick is a finisher, as is the zigzag. But I'm just saying it adds something to the product when there's more ways to win and that some guys are going to get pinned. Like, if you give a guy a huge superplex into a table and then you beat him with your signature move, I think that's great. Yeah. You don't need to hit him with your finisher. Every match doesn't need to end with the finisher or some stupid roll-up.
Yeah.
You know, like, I like having other high-powered moves.
I agree. We got to get the last thing out because we didn't get to talk about the AJ-Joe feud. Do you have any thoughts on that before you go, Arlen?
No, I only have one thought. I just want to tell the Cow Nation I have to leave now to go to business meetings.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I will see you Saturday night at Caveat NYC. There's only two tickets left, maybe one.
Take pictures with Arlen.
Yeah, you can take pictures with Arlen. You can see how much taller you are than him. It'll be a confidence boost.
And how much less handsome you are than me.
Yeah. I'm Bye-bye. The most handsome guy in this room.
You could take pictures
Used
with Arlen.
To be.
Guys, if you come, all right, if you get your ticket today, you can take pictures with Arlen's equity.
There's tons of equity.
You can take a picture with Arlen's stock options.
So many options.
Yeah. All right, take it easy, Arlen. Okay, last thing we'll cover, and then we'll get out of here also.
Sure.
AJ Styles.
Yeah.
So AJ came out, cut a promo. This AJ feud, Joe feud, has not really got off the ground for me.
I disagree.
I'm excited for the match.
I disagree. I think...
by the way, I will say, and I've been accused of this, and you said it, is that a lot of times I don't get as into the SmackDown things because it's after I've watched Raw.
Right.
You're
burnt out.
The last segment of SmackDown where I'm tired from watching.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's burnt out. It's a little burnout.
If this opened Raw and it's AJ Joe and they're talking about they're getting personal in the way that I like, I probably would feel stronger about it.
I think they're doing pretty good work. They are getting personal. The stuff that's coming out of Joe's mouth particularly is really great.
Yeah, Joe's great.
But he's saying that, you know, your family's rooting for me. They want you to lose. He read that letter, which I assume is fake. Like, I don't even think it's kayfabe
from
real.
From who? Wendy Styles?
From Wendy Styles, yeah.
Is that his wife's last name? Styles?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I am more tickled by the fact that her first name is Wendy.
Wait, AJ Styles' real name is what?
Like Alan James or something.
Yeah,
there's an AJ in there.
I actually don't know for sure that it's not Styles, but I imagine Styles can't be a real
name. I think Styles is fake,
yeah.
But his name is, we should look.
But what I'm saying is that I love the fact that if the family last name is
I think once you're a wrestler, your kids sometimes take your
name. Yeah, no, but I'm saying, imagine
if Alan Neil Jones. So his name is Alan Jones.
Yeah, but if you're a wrestling wife, that means you assume the kayfabe last name of your husband?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So
Brandi Rhodes, she did it.
That is true.
She's Brandi Rhodes. Because you just take your last name
that.
And you take the fan. If you're,
but I guess she was part of wrestling. That's kind of why I didn't even put that together.
Yeah, I mean,
are there other wrestling wives?
I'm sure there are. We just don't have them off top. I mean, I gave you Brandi Rhodes. I wrapped it up and delivered. You wanted an answer, I gave it to you.
That was great. That was amazing. That's got to be another one. I mean, Elizabeth?
Elizabeth Mann? What's her name? Elizabeth Mann.
Yeah.
No, look, I don't think it's fair to say that the AJ-Joe feud hasn't got off the ground.
Mann.
I think it's been a pretty good feud.
No. The feud
match is going to be tremendous.
Yeah.
And the feud has been pretty good.
You notice AJ has not been wrestling.
He's taking it easy.
Yeah.
That's fine.
They've been going easy on AJ.
Take it easy, baby. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, I'm fucking pumped for that match.
Yeah, it's been a great
match. But I feel like the feud hasn't I can't imagine Joe winning because it hasn't caught enough fire for Joe to win. Like, it's a big moment for Joe to win the title for me.
But
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's just, obviously, you only see it from your perspective. My perspective is like, this stuff's really good, but they're not touching. They haven't touched. They didn't have one moment.
Well, they did. Joe put him in a Kikina clutch. He choked him out.
Today?
Early in the feud.
Oh, okay. I don't remember.
When AJ came out with the contract signing, right?
Yeah. I love Joe specifically telling Paige, like, yo, you want me to be boring?
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting stuff in this feud.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But I'm not... I don't know. Do you feel vested in it?
Here's why you don't feel...
Because they don't have Paul Heyman.
You're saying you don't feel vested because you don't think the outcome is up for grabs.
I actually think it's because of wrestling fatigue.
That is what it is.
I think it's directly because of that, because I'm a big AJ fan.
Right.
I love what Joe's doing. I think it's a thing where it's the last segment of SmackDown.
Right, and it's tough. It's a lot. I think that Joe is not going to beat AJ for the same reason I didn't think that Shinsuke was going to beat AJ, and I was one of the only people who predicted
that
Shinsuke.
Well, you think you're going to ride AJ to Mania?
Well, that that when you look at AJ Styles and you look at Shinsuke,
right,
one of these guys is the fucking champ, and one of these guys is more of a U.S. guy. He's not ready for the big belt. Same thing with Joe. He's great, but he's not great enough to beat AJ Styles and take that title into the big pay-per-views of Rumble and Mania. That's not Samoa Joe right now. Maybe it will be. AJ Styles is your guy. So all they got to do is just feed him credible threats.
All right, Chebs, we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
We're done.
I said my piece.
We did it, but we're not done for the weekend of SummerSlam. No, we're just getting started.
I mean, cheers up, my man.
Cheers up. This weekend, Saturday night, the show you've all been waiting for, Dolph Ziggler, the Intercontinental Champion, with the Intercontinental Championship.
Dan Black, the champion of wrestling podcasting, will be there.
That's right. I'll be there. It's good. We got bunch of marks on this show.
Ton of marks.
No one on this show is not a mark unless you don't consider. I consider Ziggler a mark.
Ziggler's a mark. He loves the
biz.
He loves
the
biz.
Absolutely. Saturday night at midnight, this is the fast lane. This is the last stop. This is the last time I'll be promoting this show on this podcast. Midnight, we got a bunch of jabroniacs coming already. Still some tickets available, but get them quick. You can get them at caveat.nyc. Tell your marquee friends who are coming into town for Brooklyn. This is after NXT TakeOver. You got enough time. It's a hop, skip, and a jump from the Barclays Center on the Lower East Side.
Two skips. It's a hop, two skips, and a jump.
Hop, two skips, and a jump. That's producer Shapiro letting me know exactly how many hops, how many skips, and how many jumps. Be there. I've been working out my set.
The set is tight. I've heard a lot of this material. It's tight, tight. You're going to want to hear this material.
I did a set last night for like... I was like, yo, I got to work out. Like, I got to do a couple of these, like, new wrestling. Like, the couple of these jokes that I'm like, you know, I know these are too inside, but I just, like, have to say them out loud.
Right. How does
the crowd wasn't even into, they wouldn't even give me the LeBron joke. Like, the one that went viral.
They were so anti-wrestling.
They were just, like, so anti-wrestling. I had to be like, all right, well. No, so just to let you know how difficult this has been to work to do.
That's true.
Most crowds are down because they're like, this guy's a maniac. He loves wrestling, and they're down with it. But I got three shows tonight. Anyway, check it out. It's going to be a fucking really fun time. And you can pick up your official cow merchandise that we are rocking. It'll be in the promo pic today.
Yeah, I'm wearing it right now. It's a great shirt. It feels great. It's nice and soft.
Would you approve this as soft style?
This is soft style, and I will say that whether you're a cow fan or wrestling fan, doesn't matter. This is the perfect stocking stuffer. Get them now for Christmas. Get them available. People are going to want to feel this shirt on their bodies. It's beautiful. It's a work of art. Everyone should own one.
Okay, great. Also, a couple of other things I want to plug. I want to plug my buddy, Wrestling For Sale. He's having a pop-up on Saturday.
I mean, he's the best wrestling merch guy in the biz.
Yeah, at biz. He's going to be at the show also, if you want to say what up to Wrestling For Sale, my buddy. Ted, he's going to be there. He's got that pop-up. It's at 3 p.m. I forgot the place it's at. Doing an impromptu plug for it.
Well, you can just go on Instagram, look at Wrestling For Sale.
Wrestling For Sale.
And he's got info there. It's going to be an awesome shop. I've seen some of the pictures of the gear he has. This is like once-in-a-lifetime wrestling gear.
Yeah. Amazing shit. I think he has, like, for the first 10 people in line, there's, like... like some exclusive stuff that only they're allowed to buy.
If you're one of the hounds of merch, you want to get to the Wrestling For Sale pop-up show.
Yeah, cool. The other thing I want to plug is midnight on Friday. If you're looking for some comedy, if you're looking for a great comedy wrestling show at UCB Theater, UCBW is putting on Revengeance. Which is I used to wrestle in it when I was here in New York.
You played a character named Muscles Marinara.
Muscles Marinara. They're doing at midnight at UCB Theater, Hell's Kitchen. They're doing an awesome comedy wrestling show that's really fun. Check that out if you're in the city and looking for fun shit to do. Check that out.
Yeah.
Cool.
Letterman's the sponsor. Adam Letterman.
Adam Letterman, the sponsor. Hey, he's a personal injury attorney in New Jersey and New York. He's a jabroniac. He will be with us this weekend.
He will
be at the show at Caveat. Bring your
legal matters.
Bring your legal matters. Check it out, okay? Cool. Anyway, I think that's it. Shebs, anything you want to plug?
You can follow me at Shabiro. That's S-H-E-B-I-R-O. If you have SiriusXM, listen to my real radio show Thursdays, 4 p.m. on Channel 99 called The Raw Report. If you are in New York and want to learn how to do sketch comedy from me, you can take my sketch class here at UCB.
Sweet. Oh, the pop-up is at... I got this flyer, but it is at... Blind Barber. It is at the Blind Bob Barber on East 10th Street. Cool.
East, okay, good.
So be in the Village. Great. Hey, everybody, have a great SummerSlam. Enjoy NXT. Fucking, these are the weekends we live for, baby.
We didn't even talk about how good NXT has been, but it's been great.
I know. It's impossible to
There's
get
too
NXT.
Much wrestling. NXT's
I have a plan
great.
To. I got plans post SummerSlam. Okay. Anybody. Hey, everybody, enjoy SummerSlam.
We'll see you at the show.
Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Cheers up.
Cheers up.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen on Thursday when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. We'll be right back.